I'm Joe by Greenway Park. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from sunny Dallas, Texas. Today is Thursday, the 29th of January, 2015. On this date in 1819, Stamford Raffles lands on the island of Singapore. 1834, President Andrew Jackson sets a precedent of federal troops for the first time putting down labor riots in the United States, in this case, workers building the never-finished George Washington pet project of the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal. 1845, Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven is published in the New York Evening Mirror. 1861, Kansas enters the Union as a free state with all its brutal trading of reprisals among pro- and anti-slavery groups. 1886, Carl Benz patents the first successful gasoline-driven automobile. 1891, Liliuokalani, the last monarch of Hawaii, is proclaimed queen after the death of her brother. 1907, Charles Curtis of Kansas becomes the first Native American U.S. Senator. Very interesting guy. Not much remembered. Read up on him. 1918, the Bolshevik Red Army on its way to besiege Kiev is met by a group of Junkers at the Battle of Kruti. 1942, Iran signs the Treaty of Alliance with Great Britain and the USSR, creating the Persian Corridor, as Churchill always called it, opening up Iran to the Soviet support of the leftist party of Iran known as the Tudeh. 1964, Dr. Strangelove premieres. 1967, the Mantra Rock Dance, held at the Avalon Ballroom on Sutter between Van Ness and Polk in San Francisco. 2005, the first direct commercial flights start from mainland China to Taiwan since 1949. Birthdays today are Emanuel Swedenborg, Jeffrey Amherst, Tom Paine, Harriet Tubman, William McKinley, the first president to ride in a car, who was assassinated in 1901, sadly. Not for riding in a car, but anyway. Anton Chekhov, W.C. Fields, Edward Abbey, Tom Selleck, Oprah Winfrey, and Heather Graham. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Georgian Journal and Fides Politra column this week is about traffic in Tbilisi and how befuddled both the government policy and the Georgian cultural attitude towards traffic and cars are. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tfieldpod.com or send us an email at tfieldpod@gmail.com. On the 23rd of January, Interior Minister Alexander Chikaidze resigned. 29-year-old Chikaidze held the post since November 2013. In a written statement on the Interior Ministry's website, he cited allegations against him that he was protecting police officers involved in an operation in 2006 in which two young men were killed as the reason behind his decision to step down. The allegations were voiced again recently by Yuri Vazagashvili, the father of one of the killed young men. On the 20th of January, Vazagashvili was killed in an explosion at his son's grave. Chikaidze said that, quote, although these allegations are not true, I feel moral responsibility and quit, which means I feel a moral responsibility since somebody told me to quit. He continues that, quote, if the murder of Yuri Vazagashvili had been solved immediately, I would not have made such a decision. But as the investigation is still going, I believe I should distance myself from the process so that the society does not have questions for the authorities, since we all know he's been in charge. Chikaidze's resignation was followed by the resignation of deputy head of the criminal police. Prime Minister Khadabashvili hailed Chikaidze's decision to step down, saying, quote, he did what a dignified policeman and a devoted soldier of our country would have done. He confirmed once again that holding an office was not a priority for him. The main thing for him was to serve the people. Prime Minister Khadabashvili and the cabinet and the parliament members attended Vazagashvili's funeral in the village of Karipila on Sunday, the 25th of January. Fallout in the Interior Ministry continued on the 25th of January. Several prosecutors who were involved in the investigation of the police shooting that killed Vazagashvili in 2006, the son, have asked to be suspended until the investigation, which is being carried out by a separate special investigative group, is completed. Acting Interior Minister Vakhtang Gomelauri said that several policemen who were also connected to the Zura Vazagashvili case were fired. On the 26th of January, Prime Minister Irakli Ghadabashvili appointed Gomelauri as the new Interior Minister. Gomelauri served as first Deputy Interior Minister under Chikaidze and was appointed to Deputy Minister in the spring of 2013. Before that, he served as BI Security Detail. Georgian Dream ruling coalition lawmaker Irakli Sesiashvili, who chairs the Parliamentary Committee for Defense and Security, said that Gomelauri will have to lead the Interior Ministry in a difficult period, and he will play an important role in the process of reforming the Interior Ministry. In reality, his leadership was a dilemma. They needed somebody in a position who is loyal and want somebody who is loyal more than they want somebody who is smart, in a position that could become a great source of independent power, as we saw under Metabashvili. Metabashvili, still in jail with no trial, is very smart, but was always loyal to Misha. In current case, there's nobody that smart whose loyalty they're sure of, so they're going with loyal and not so smart. But many of those who are not so smart, you know, create some difficulties by being there. Let's see how it goes for bodyguard Gomelauri. Following up on last week's stories, Prime Minister Kharabashvili was in Davos for the World Economic Forum. On the sidelines of the conference, he met his Dutch counterpart, Mark Rutte. According to the Prime Minister's office, they discussed deepening cooperation in the economic, defense, education, and cultural sectors. He met the president of Switzerland, who said that they consider Georgia a special partner. Kharabashvili met separately with his Turkish counterpart, Ahmed Davutoglu, and the president of Azerbaijan, Ilham Aliyev. With the Turkish Prime Minister, they discussed further boosting economic cooperation and deepening relations. And with President Aliyev, they discussed the strategic cooperation between Georgia and Azerbaijan. And Kharabashvili invited him to pay a visit to Georgia. He also thanked him for the Sokar guards that are constantly in front of the statue of Ilham's dad in Abanotubani to make sure it never gets tagged by somebody with the Azerbaijani opposition, which it surely will if those guards were not there. He also met there the founder of private equity group CVC Capital Partners, London-based, offshore-focused. They plan to visit Georgia soon. Prime Minister of Lithuania, Algirdas Butkevičius, paid an official visit to Georgia on the 25th and 27th of January. He met with Prime Minister Kharabashvili, President Mark Velashvili, discussed bilateral economic cooperation, transport, and energy issues, as well as Georgia's NATO and EU integration. He also met with representatives of the Baltic Business Association in Georgia and participated in the Georgian-Lithuanian Business Forum. Georgian parliamentary delegation led by Speaker Dato Usupashvili met on the 25th of January in Tehran with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. According to the Iranian president's office, Tehran is seeking strengthened cooperation with Georgia, noting there is huge untapped potential in economic relations. Rouhani stressed the potential in the energy and transport sectors, saying that Georgia can serve as a transit route to export Iranian gas to Europe as a rail. And a railway can be used to link Persian Gulf with ports in Georgia. Georgian parliamentary delegation also met former Iranian President Akbar Hashmi Rafsanjani, who now chairs the Expediency Council, awesome name, which advises Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Usupashvili also met with his Iranian counterpart Ali Larjani. Speaking at a news conference, Usupashvili said that Georgia and Iran need each other very much today as the situation in our neighborhood gets more complicated and the level of violence and confrontation increases. The two countries should initiate a process opposing these developments through more cooperation, more relations, and more mutually beneficial projects. Iranian officials also expressed regret over Georgia's decision in July 2013 to scrap the visa-free regime for Iran, meaning Iranians need a visa to come to Georgia. Usupashvili said that Georgian government is working to ease visa procedures by introducing online application forms. And if Georgia gets visa-free with Europe in May, which is likely, then that may, or I hope that that will change somehow, or at least they'll have very expedited visa procedures. NATO's Deputy Secretary General Alexander Vershbo will visit Georgia on the 29th to 30th of January. The purpose of the trip is to monitor the implementation of the substantive package offered by NATO at the Wales Summit last September. He'll meet with the President, Prime Minister, Speaker, Parliament, and members of government. He also scheduled to visit locations selected for the construction of a joint NATO-Georgia training center. For now, the location is secret. In an interview with the Georgian public broadcaster, Vershbo said he hopes a training center will open by the end of 2015. Foreign Minister Tamriko Berichashvili left for her first working visit to the United States on the 28th of January. She's expected back to Georgia on the 4th of February. During her four-day stay in the U.S., Berichashvili will meet with President Joe Biden within the framework of the Eastern European Foreign Ministers meeting. She'll meet U.S. high officials from the executive and legislative branches and will also give a speech at the Atlantic Council Conference Transatlantic Synergy for Eastern Europe. The lari is continuing to depreciate. As of the 29th of January, the National Bank of Georgia established a new official exchange rate. One U.S. dollar is 2.0311 Georgian lari. This is the lowest the lari has been since April 2004. On the 27th of January, Prime Minister Kharibashvili met with the government's economic team and the chief of the central bank, Karagidze. After the meeting, Economy Minister Kvitikashvili said that at this stage there is no need for the central bank to intervene by using its reserves. Kadigidze said that if the central bank sees the threat of existing inflationary expectations growing into actual significant price hikes, it will have to increase its key policy rate. Central bank kept the key rate unchanged at 4% in December. The next meeting of the central bank's monetary policy committee is scheduled for the 11th of February. Kadigidze is doing a pretty good job, by the way, and his term is up fairly soon, I think in a year or so. So I wonder who they're going to appoint in that very, very important position, considering that things are pretty stable. On the 28th of January, MediTV aired another long interview with BI. He spoke about lots of topics. He said the government is, and I quote, very efficient, that he sees no need for Prime Minister Kharibashvili to be replaced. Speaking on Ukraine, he said that Russia's actions pose a threat to the entire to all of Europe and added that although Georgia should express support towards Ukraine, it should keep a low profile. He then slammed Misha in the UNM for, as he put it, trying to put their own political gains to blow Georgia's role out of proportion. He also criticized them for encouraging Georgians to fight and presumably die in war. He also said that there is no need for Georgia's government to revisit its current constructive policy towards Russia. He denied again allegations of ruling the country from the backstage, but also said that no one can ban him from giving advice, publicity, publicly or privately, to the government. He said that the UNM and its propaganda lie machine, Rustaviori, were seeding nihilism and trying to portray the government as feeble and incapable, that they were trying to stir hype over the lari's depreciation. He talked about plans to run a show on GDS to give people the right analysis on events and that he will be actively involved. Moreover, he said that the GDS TV is also planning a TV series, more than 200 episodes, about the UNM through its 9 years in power. The TV series called 9+1 will be launched in the autumn. He also said that his organization, 2030, will look into work of some civil society activists for whom he has questions, saying NGOs are bigger than the government. He specifically mentioned the head of the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, Nino Lomjadia, the head of TI Georgia, Eka Gigaudi, and former head of Georgian Young Lawyers Association, Kacha Koshuridze, who is now President Margvelashvili's human rights advisor. On the 23rd of January, Russia's lower house of parliament, the State Duma, ratified the Treaty on Alliance and Strategic Partnership with Abkhazia, signed by President Vladimir Putin and Abkhazia leader Raul Khajimba, that the Russians put in place in November. Russia also plans to sign a new treaty with South Ossetia. The draft agreement on alliance and integration envisages a much deeper integration with Russia. As we've discussed, South Ossetia's defense, security, and customs agencies would become part of the relevant ministries and agencies of the Russian Federation. Border crossing point at the Roki Tunnel linking South Ossetia with Russia will be removed. But then all the opposition from North Ossetia would be able to get back into South Ossetia. That would be a problem. Following up on previous week's stories, President Margvelashvili is continuing to hold consultations to nominate a new Supreme Court head who will hold the post for the next 10 years. On the 22nd of January, he met separately with the leader of the Georgian Dream parliamentary group, Dato Saganalidze, senior lawmaker from the opposition UNM party. As a reminder, the president's candidate will require endorsement by parliament with the support of at least 76 MPs. On the 26th of January, Margvelashvili then met with the outgoing chairman, Kote Kubalashvili, and the members of the High Council of Justice for consultation. He then called on professional circles and stakeholders to name their preferred candidate for the Supreme Court chairmanship before the 9th of February, and he would pick one to submit. A group of EU experts are in Georgia from the 26th to the 30th of January to review the Georgia's visa liberalization progress. Georgia is implementing the second stage of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan, which will ensure visa-free travel for Georgians to EU countries. EU monitoring experts are focusing on migration and asylum issues. 55 prisoners serving life sentences in Goldani Prison No. 8 have gone on hunger strike, demanding benefit from the mass amnesty introduced in early 2013. Prisoners want to change their life sentence into a set number of years, after which their sentences will be reduced by a quarter. According to Dmitry Lord Kipanidze, a befuddled politician from Nino Borjanadze's party, known for defending prisoners' rights, a particularly lucrative activity in his case, they're going on strike now because the term of all the previous promises had expired, and they are protesting against the discriminatory approach of the government towards prisoners who are serving life sentences. The prisoners also warn that their relatives are planning big rallies. Seven firms have been shortlisted by the government commission for a deep-sea port project in Anaklia. Various international consortiums of Georgian, Greek, French, Japanese, Turkish, and American entities. On July 2014, the government announced a call for expression of interest for the design, construction, and operation of a deep-sea port in Anaklia with an initial capacity to handle 7 million tons and gradually increase to at least 40 million tons in 12 years. A deputy economic minister said that the shortlisted bidders will have to submit additional proposals to the government commission before the 16th of April, and that after the list will be winnowed down to two or three bidders from which the government will have to select one. Contract with the winning bidder will be signed no later than September 2015, and the consortium should start by June 2016. Georgia's Black Sea ports in Poti and Batumi are capable of handling only feeder vessels carrying a maximum of 1,700 containers. Larger Panamax-sized vessels with Georgia-bound cargo use other ports in the region, mainly Istanbul, where containers are reloaded to feeder ships, which then head to Poti and Batumi. Prosecutor's office has started an investigation against the four ex-Interior Ministry officials on account of preparation for premeditated murder under aggravating circumstances. I guess that's aggravated circumstances, maybe also aggravating circumstances, and exceeding official power. The information is based on a letter from the Public Defender's Office. According to the prosecutor's office statement in July 2008, the four Interior Ministry officials exceeded their official powers by detaining Citizen L, applying psychological pressure, and threatening to charge him with drug-related crimes. In exchange for the detainee's freedom, the citizen was persuaded to murder the mother of Buta Robachidze, a young man who was shot and killed by a patrol police officer in November 2004. Robachidze's family has been campaigning actively since then, demanding punishment of those involved for fabricating the crime scene. The plan did not go through, and the mother was not murdered. Along with the murder cases of Sandra Girvliani and Zura Vazagashvili, Robachidze's murder was one of the most discussed and controversial cases during Misha's period. Public defender Uche Nanuashvili held a briefing earlier about the case. He said that he was addressed by L, explaining the details of his detention by the Interior Ministry officials in July 2008. Nanuashvili said afterwards, L left Georgia for a period. When he returned, he was detained and sentenced to 10 years in prison for drug-related crime. L says he refrained from talking about what happened under the previous authorities, but now is ready to give statements and is asking the prosecutor to open an investigation and also ensure his safety. Following up on previous month's stories, on the 28th of January, former warlord Emzar Kvitsiani, who was sentenced to 12 years in jail, was released after the Court of Appeals in Kutaisi approved a plea bargain deal between him and the prosecution. To recap, Kvitsiani was in charge of the Kodori Gorge in Abkhazia before being ousted by government forces in 2006. He was arrested in February 2014 upon arrival to Tbilisi from Moscow. In November 2014, he was found by a Zudidi court to be guilty of mutiny and forming an illegal armed group. Kvitsiani pleaded not guilty and appealed the verdict to the Court of Appeals in Kutaisi. According to the plea deal, his prison sentence was cut to only 11 months, which he has already served since his detention in February 2014. Kvitsiani's release has been condemned by the UNM opposition, saying it was a political decision made by BA and Garibashvili to frighten UNM people or destabilize the country. Certainly, Kvitsiani, who's really a criminal, will now testify in whatever way is convenient. So let's see if his testimony ends up being important in any situation. European Commission dispersed 13 million euros to grant to Georgia to support the economic reform agenda. This is part of the first tranche of the EU's 46 million euro macro financial assistance program for Georgia, which was approved in August 2013. The tranche also includes 10 million euros in loans. Second tranche of 23 million euros is planned for mid-2015 for public finance management, social policy, banking supervision and trade, competition policy to help the implementation of the deep and comprehensive free trade area with the EU or, as they say, the DCFTA. Georgia is going to host the 2017 UEFA European Under-19 Championship in 2017. The annual European U19 Championship consists of qualifying round, an elite round, an eight-team final tournament. The final tournament will be played at stadiums in Tbilisi, Rustavi, Gori, and Mskheta. According to the president of the Georgian Football Federation, it's been a two-year-long effort to bring the tournament to Georgia. On the 28th of January, Ireland's parliament ratified the Georgia-EU Association Agreement along with the association agreements with Moldova and Ukraine. Ireland is the 12th EU member country to ratify the Georgia-EU Association Agreement. Government announced on the 28th of January that they will launch an e-visa system from February 2015. They said it's part of the government's strategy to maintain the long-term stability of the Lahti and encourage foreign direct investment in Georgia. According to the Interior Ministry, three citizens of Bulgaria were arrested on the 24th of January trying to smuggle 6.3 kilos of cocaine worth about $2.5 million into Georgia from Armenia. Georgian film Corn Island, directed by Gheorghe Ovashvili, won Best Film at the Trieste Film Festival, which is devoted to cinema from Eastern Europe. The German company Henkel, a global producer of detergents, cosmetics, technological products, and adhesives, is opening a plant in Georgia in Gardabani District. About 6 million euro of investment will be allocated to build a construction adhesive materials plant, according to the Gardabani municipality head. Construction works have already begun. Project is set to finish at the end of May 2015, pretty soon. Henkel promises to employ 40 to 50 local people. Two Georgian opera singers, Anita Ratchvelashvili and Gheorghe Gagnidze, will perform major roles in the new production of Verdi's Aida, which will be performed at La Scala in Milan. Transport Ministry Service in Tbilisi City Hall said that 75 smart traffic lights will be installed in Tbilisi before the end of the year to ease gridlock. Not sure what's smart about them, but I guess that's good. French cinema star Alain Delon will visit Tbilisi for a charity event on the 12th of February. He will host a celebration dedicated to the 60th jubilee of Georgian opera singer Pata Bourchaladze at the Tbilisi Sports Palace. Bourchaladze found the Ivnana charity, which helps to buy houses for homeless children and their families. New York Times has a new list of 20 wines under $20 that are worth the search. They include Pheasant's Tears, Cachetti Ricazzitelli. Quote, it is fermented and aged in a quevri, a traditional clay vessel lined with beeswax and buried in the earth. The result is a deep amber wine with a raspy texture, steely and full body, with aromas and flavors of apples, herbs, and nuts. End quote. Parliamentary news, a government-backed draft amendment to the Criminal Code was submitted to Parliament last week, which, if approved, will make calls inciting strife a criminal offense. The amendments are part of a broader package of bills drafted by the Interior Ministry, which also involves a proposal to criminalize participation in illegal armed groups abroad. The proposed bill reads that calling inciting strife, public calls for violent actions made verbally, in writing, or through other forms and aimed at causing enmity or discord between radical religious, national, ethnic, social, linguistic, or other groups, shall be punished with imprisonment from 2 to 5 years. And if causing strife between groups results in grave consequences, including serious injuries to human health or death, in that case, calls for inciting strife shall be punished with 5 to 15 years imprisonment. If strife-inducing calls are made by a legal entity, the entity should be deprived of the right to operate as punishment along with a financial penalty. The bill has not been debated yet. Already it's causing controversy. Can't imagine why. 20 media and human rights groups, including the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, Georgian Young Lawyers Association, Identoba, CIDA, as well as that's CIDA, as well as more than a dozen news outlets have condemned the government proposed bill and warned in a joint statement that the legislative amendment is fraught with the risk of unreasonably restricting freedom of expression and stifling criticism. Deputy Interior Minister Levani Zoria argued that the proposed bill poses no threat whatsoever to freedom of expression. The Ministry of Labor, Health, and Social Affairs is initiating a draft law on labor migration which is expected to be submitted to the parliament soon. The law will regulate the employment of Georgian citizens, foreigners who have permanent residence in Georgia, and those who do not have citizenship. An explanatory note on the law stated that Georgia should have a labor migration mechanism that enables investors to bring labor force into the country, but only in the case where an employer cannot find staff with appropriate qualifications locally. The Ministries of Justice and Economy have initiated the changes in legislation to return to foreigners the right to own agricultural land in Georgia under certain conditions. It will later be given to Parliament to discuss. The conditions for a foreigner to own land are: if the agricultural land was inherited, if a foreigner was a member of a farmstead created by a Georgian citizen, or if the foreigner was married to a Georgian citizen. In the instance of divorce or leaving the farmstead, the foreigner will have the right to keep the property rights if he or she meets the conditions set by the law for agricultural land ownership to foreigners. If a foreigner no longer meets the conditions after obtaining the property ownership rights, the person must sell the land within the six-month time frame. If this does not happen, the Ministry of Economy will take over the land in favor of the state. As a reminder, about 2 years ago, changes were made to the same law in which the government imposed a moratorium where only commercial banks had the right to own agricultural land. Last year, Georgia's Constitutional Court declared the moratorium as unconstitutional and repealed the corresponding article of the law after Matthias Hutter and Transparency International Georgia went to court to fight it. It doesn't look like these changes would be in accordance with a decision by the Constitutional Court, but they may go through anyway. The meme this week is quite interesting. It's a video posted to YouTube by the UNM of police abuse. That is a woman in her giant BMW SUV abusing police. The police officer pulls over a woman for talking on the phone while driving, say they're going to fine her. She yells at them and then calls up some guys and says that it's the head of the police on the phone. She knows him and complains to the two cops who have pulled her over. And in the end, she doesn't get fined. It's been viewed over 130,000 times. The story is that she is the Shekhwarabuli of the chief of police, and that's why she could deal with it so easily. Some people predictably saying that it is a UNM setup. Stuff to read. Great one from Paul Rimpel, reports for Deutsche Welle, from Pankisi on one school teaching English, working to keep its kids globally connected and not susceptible to radical groups. Tbilisi-based journalists Monica Elena and Justina Minikowitz write for the St. Petersburg Times on the Sukashvili National Ballet's new modern dance project. Another piece, this time for Slate, on the rusty cable cars of Chiatura with great pictures. This week's blog from CRC looks at the economic condition of pensioners in the South Caucasus, comparing them in light of increasingly aging populations. George Soros and Bernard Henri Lévy write a great piece in the New York Times to save the old Ukraine versus the old corrupt Ukraine, to save the new Ukraine versus the old corrupt Ukraine. They say, quote, "It is instructive to compare Ukraine today with Georgia in 2004. When he became president that year, Mikhail Saakashvili immediately replaced the hated traffic police and removed roadblocks used to extort bribes from drivers. The public recognized straight away that things had changed for the better. Unfortunately, Ukraine has not found a similar demonstration project. Kiev's police force is to be restructured, but if you need a driver's license, you must still pay the same bribe as before. Mr. Saakashvili was a revolutionary leader who first stamped out corruption, but eventually turned it into a state monopoly. By contrast, Ukraine is a participatory democracy that does not rely on a single leader, but on checks and balances. Democracies move slowly, but that may prove an advantage in the long run." End quote. Heather Yunt writes on IWPR's trainings and trips to document life on the ABL, where the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. Tara Isabella Burton talks with one East German woman's peculiar new life living in a cave in the Pankisi Gorge. EDAF magazine has a list of the most beautiful and the most ugly buildings in Tbilisi. Interesting mix of old and new buildings, some I don't agree with, but most I do, includes the truly horrible Visoil building in Vake. Watch the YouTube trailer for the upcoming horror film Unfriended by Georgian director Levan Gabriadze. Tom Freer for the Moscow Times goes over Georgia's annexation treaty with South Ossetia, saying that, quote, the reality is that neither the West nor Georgia have any mechanisms with which to influence this process, end quote. Georgi Kaltozishvili writes in Vestnik Avkaza in response to a letter from the Armenian Apostolic Church in Georgia, which asked that his article about Armenia claiming 450 Georgian churches as its own be taken down. In his interview and discussion, he refuses their claim that calling the churches Armenian was not a political move. Interesting discussion going on in that article and the level at which it's happening. Georgian Journal talks with rapper Andrea Hadi Yoseliani and the trickiness of being a rapper in Iran. All these things to read, posted on the forum. Geocapital number, this week's geocapital number is 22. This is Georgia's ranking on the newly released Index of Economic Freedom by Georgia Fetishists Heritage Foundation, meaning they classified it as the 22nd freest economy in the world. By contrast, Freedom House also released their Freedom in the World ranking, and Georgia is classified as partly free. Announcements. In London, the British Georgian Society is hosting a talk by Professor Donald Rayfield on Niko Marr, Stalin's favorite linguist. Professor Rayfield is Emeritus Professor of Russian and Georgian at the University of London, Queen Mary. The talk will be at the Georgian Embassy Tuesday, the 17th of February at 7 p.m. Let them know if you'd like to attend. For those who care about Georgia and don't know Donald Rayfield, meaning they've been living under a rock, he is a brilliant lecturer, stratospherically knowledgeable about Georgia. He's the one that put together the best dictionary since Sulhan Saba or Beliani, and Niko Marr is an extremely interesting guy. So if you're in London or know people who are, don't miss this. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we'll finish with, from 1997, Smash Mouth and Walking on the Sun.
Chip is soaked with the tears because the baby's life has been revoked. The bond is broke, got so choked up and focused on the close up. Mr. Wizard can't reform. No god like Hocus Pocus. So don't sit back, kick back, and watch the world get bushwhacked.